This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
I get a lot of junk mail. Do you guys get a lot of junk mail? I don't know why lately, but it all seems to be about weight loss and joining a gym and all kinds of crazy stuff like that. Like this one, lose 20 pounds. Get buff and ripped by next week. Now, this one bothered me a little bit. Chris, your wife wants you to lose weight. I'm hoping it's a direct marketing trick and that, you know, Jen, you can just talk to me. It's okay, sweetie. It's all right. They're not just sending these to me. Are they? Anybody else get stuff for clubs and weight loss and diet programs and all that other kind of stuff? It comes all the time, doesn't it? And it's not just in the mail. How about the infomercials? Right? The music comes on and there's some dude that's all chiseled out to the max or some lady that looks like she weighs about 6.5 pounds. And the telephone number comes up. 1-800-YOU'RE-TOO-FAT. Right? You want to lose 40 pounds in a day? Try our this, try our that, whatever it is. You too can be a Bowflex boy or a Cosmo girl. All you got to do is order these products and drink this thing And there's always this crying testimony, isn't there? Like there's this before and after photograph. And it looks like the before photograph ate the after photograph. Right? And the testimony is something like, well, my husband was unemployed and ugly. And then I drank Quick Slim. And now I'm married to Brad Pitt. And my kids all became Rhodes Scholars. It's all, you know, they're just trying to push that on us, aren't they? And the pictures. The pictures they put up, every dude is chiseled. I mean, rock hard abs, and every woman's in a bikini. It looks like she's been working out forever. It can make you feel a little bad. At least it does me. I watch that commercial and I stand in front of the mirror and go, oh. Right? You know, oh. Compare myself to the Bowflex guy. Oh, I don't want to do that. You know, and so you look in the mirror and you're like, eh. By the way, ladies, you know, us guys, we have a mirror trick. I know you probably know this, but when guys look at themselves in the mirror, it's only from the front angle because we figured this one isn't good and this one certainly isn't good. And so we only look it from the front because, you know, it doesn't look bad. Okay, ready to go. Because when I compare myself to these people in the commercials, I look at it and I go, not bad. Not bad. Suck in a little bit. Not too bad, right? Do you guys compare yourself to these things? I know in a society where we define body image by GQ and Cosmo, our view of ourselves can get really smudged, can it? My image of health, of body, of what it means to take care of myself could go from one extreme to the other. And it affects all ages. I'm not talking to just 20-somethings. Our view of our body and what we should look like and what we do look like can get smudged from age 20 to 65 and beyond. It affects everybody. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about health and the body and all of that. And because I can't talk about this without having you guys at least do something to say you got some exercise, I want everybody to stand up. We're going to stretch. Can we stretch? If nothing else, we're going to stretch. Now, when you stretch, make sure you don't knock your neighbor out, okay? We don't want to call EMS to the Orchard. Here's what I want to do. I want everybody just to stretch. Go ahead, stretch. Does that feel good? Be careful with your arms now. I see people going, crack, crack. Don't do that. Okay, now stretch. Put your arms down behind your head. Oh, that feels good. Okay, now pick a side. You're not going to hurt anybody. Stretch to the side. All right, now take your hands, come up behind your head, and go straight up like that. Here we go. Here we go. One more time. All right, everybody, have a seat. Thank you very much. You can't say you didn't get any exercise at church. And if that is what you think is exercise, you really need to pay attention for about the next 30 minutes, okay? Now, seriously, this is an issue that really affects all of us, doesn't it? Because we all have to deal throughout our lives with issues of health, whether in sickness or maintaining our bodies, with issues of body image. As we're growing up, we compare ourselves to people as we look for a mate. As we go through middle age and get middle-age spread, we start to worry about our health. As we age, we notice our body isn't what it used to be, and we're concerned. This is about all of us. It affects all of us. That's why for so many of us, New Year's is health time, right? You make a New Year's resolution about health, don't you? I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to fit into that dress. I've never said that one, just in case you're wondering. Whatever it is. And what do? We start the new year out right, and we go consistently, and we work out, or we watch our diet, or whatever. And then right about this time of the year, things start to change, don't they? And we get a little inconsistent. We stop. We sigh with discontentment and give up, because let's face it, we're not going to make it. Sometimes we are really urgent about our health, aren't we? And then other times it's supersize me. Huh. By the way, you see this? McPork. Somebody tells me here that's a real sandwich in Japan. Ugh. So some days, you know, like I'll take the Diet Coke and the Diet Melba toast and the Diet Light Bread. And the next day I'll take two Big Macs with one of the big truck full of fries. We're just not real consistent about that. Why? I think maybe because we get tired of chasing Bowflex Boy or Cosmo Girl, a body image that we become convinced we're never going to reach, and so we turn inward and feel bad about the way we look and the way God made us, and I might as well just give up on this. Or maybe it's because at 5 a.m., even though we had the best intentions of getting up and going for a run, because of an argument with our spouse or the kids were blowing up with flour and water in the kitchen till 12, I just don't care at 5 a.m. how I look in a swimsuit this June. Or maybe it's because we really have a wrong understanding about what health is all about and why our bodies matter. And with that wrong understanding, we're just not motivated past look good for swimsuit season for a few weeks or months. Our view of health, our view of our own bodies gets tremendously smudged as we go through this life with everybody telling us how we should look. We're in an image-obsessed society. An image is okay. Tending to your image is a good thing. The people sitting around you are glad you used deodorant and mouthwash and all those wonderful things. But we're in a society that's driven by that so many times where we don't even know who we are anymore. And our health and our body gets really smudged. And unfortunately, church hasn't helped sometimes. Sometimes church just really hasn't helped. Because when we come to church, sometimes we talk about the sins of the body, like sex and drinking. But we don't talk about health and maintaining our bodies at all. And the funny thing is the things we really rail against, like sex and drinking, there's nothing wrong with those when they're done according to God's guidelines. Bible says sex is wonderful. God created it inside of marriage. The Bible says drinking is okay in small amounts if you don't have a problem, if you're not drunk, all those things. When in moderation, but the church for some reason has railed against these things. Why do we talk about alcohol but don't mention trans fats? Why do pastors rail against beer but don't mention the Big Mac? You know why? This is where I owe you an apology on behalf of all pastors everywhere. I think we avoid it because a lot of us professionally in the pastorate have taken too literally the idea of a full gospel preacher. As a profession, we're not the most physically fit people on the face of the earth. And so we tend to shy away. I'll tell you right now, I am not where I want to be physically. So if you're saying, man, he can't talk about this, he hasn't even figured it out. You're right, I haven't. But I'm journeying there. And so I invite you along with my journey. If you're saying, man, I can't listen to him talk about it because he doesn't run marathons, nope, not even close. But I am journeying, and so I invite you along on this journey with me. So before we talk about diet or exercise or anything like that, in order to get unsmudged about how we see our bodies, let's explore what the Bible has to say about health. Now, the first and often the most hardest thing we have to do in order to unsmudge our view of our own bodies when we look in the mirror, our own health, is to look past sex appeal. Because if you search through the scripture, you're not going to find that anywhere. You're not going to find it talk about anywhere about improve your bodies to look good in a swimsuit. In fact, if you have your service guides out, there's a fill in the blank there across the top. I want you to write this down. It's about stewardship, not sex appeal. There's nothing wrong with looking good. If you look good, keep looking good. But nowhere in the Bible are you going to be told to improve your health or monitor your body for sex appeal. It's about stewardship, about taking care of what God gave us in our bodies. Because let's get real. How many people really care what you look like in a swimsuit? Not a whole lot. God doesn't, and he made you. If anybody should be concerned how you look in a swimsuit, it'd be God. This summer, he's going to look down at me and go, Chris, I don't remember giving you those love handles. Where did they come from? But God doesn't care about sex appeal. As a matter of fact, God made a lot of body types. A lot of them. Now, classically, we define three: the endomorph, the ectomorph, and the mesomorph. Endomorph tends to be bigger people. Ectomorph tends to be thinner people. Mesomorph tends to be more muscular people. But God made all kinds of body types. That doesn't mean we get an excuse to just kind of laze out and do whatever we want. But listen, God made you in your body type on purpose. Don't try to be somebody else's body type and put yourself into a deep funk because God didn't make you one way or the other. I thought I would get a lot more amens on that than I did. Again, that doesn't give you the ability to laze back and just go, I'm just going to abuse my body for 50, 60, 70 years, however long I'm here. No, we're supposed to take care of it for reasons we're going to see. But don't try and be someone else's body type. I can feel the sighs of relief coming right now. I'm not going to tell you here that health means you have this percentage body fat or you look like this or you do like that. Matter of fact, this push in our society, whether you're 65 and 75 or 25 or 35, to look a certain way and you're not beautiful or you're not healthy if you don't look like this, is one of the reasons we have a huge problem with eating disorders in this country. One out of five women in the United States, according to the Center for Disease Control, has some sort of eating disorder. That means as I look around this room, ladies, there are several of you in here right now struggling with anorexia, bulimia, or some other type of eating disorder. And the guys are like, oh man, yeah, preach that. Fellas, for us, it's 1 in 10. 1 in 10. Do you know that this year alone, 50,000 people are going to die from an eating disorder-related death, illness, injury? And why is that? Because we have this smudged view that to look beautiful, I have to do this. God made you the body type that you are. Health is not about looking like another body type. Health is about making the body type you are as healthy as possible. We'll talk about that in just a little bit more. It's all about stewardship, not sex appeal. I don't own my car. I don't own my money. I don't own my house. I don't own my body. I have to be a steward of it. I have to manage it well. So in order to unsmudge the way I see my health and my body, I have to look at my health through the eyes of God, through a stewardship. Now, because of those numbers I just read, 1 in 5, 1 in 10, there's people in this room right here, right now, who are struggling with this. Many more who struggle when they look in the mirror, not hearing the kids on the playground, not hearing a mom or a dad or a brother or a sister or an ex-boyfriend or an ex-husband or an ex-wife. You're fat. You're ugly. Get away from me. And a lot of us carry this deep-seated in the pit of our stomach nastiness that go, I don't like me. God couldn't possibly like me. And we try and cover it up with a bunch of different stuff. So we're going to pause right now and I'm going to pray for you. Because you're beautiful. You may be unhealthy and beautiful. You may be beautiful and not like God intended you to be, but God made you. Pray with me if you would. Father, you brought each of us here tonight for a reason, to hear your truth from your word about what you tell us about our bodies. I thank you, Father, for life. I thank you, Father, for health that you give. I thank you especially for our physical bodies. Father, hammer into our spirits tonight, hammer into our hearts your truth about this subject that puts so many people down. We lift up this prayer tonight in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, again, because a lot of us have this smudged view about health, it's important that we know this problem goes back thousands of years. Did you know that? Especially the part the church has contributed to goes back thousands of years. And it's called Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism is this idea that there's a false dichotomy between body and spirit, that they're competing, and that dichotomy is false, meaning there really is no disconnection between body and spirit. In fact, if you were here as we did The Other Side, a series a few weeks ago, you learned that our bodies are actually eternal. They make the trip to heaven. If you didn't hear that, go to our website, go to podcasts. You can listen to those talks. But our bodies are eternal. Heaven is going to be perfect, and our perfected bodies will be there. But too long, the church has taught this false dichotomy between body and spirit, and that they're separate, and that all God cares about is your soul or your spirit, and the body is the bad thing, the evil thing, the flesh. Cue evil organ music. Da-na-na-na. The flesh. Right? And that's evil, that's bad. Listen, when the Bible talks about flesh, it's symbolic for all the desires, all the temptations, all the dumb things we want to do that push against God. Like when I want to sin, I want to overeat, I want to overindulge or go outside the boundaries sexually, I want to lie, all those things I do with my body. But the term flesh is used symbolically because the Bible teaches that our bodies, 1 Corinthians 15, go back and check it out. We'll make the trip to heaven. They are recreated. They are regenerated because right now they're not as God intended them, but they're eternal. You're saying I'm going to take this body with me to heaven? I thought there was no crying in heaven. God will perfect it. He'll make it better. This problem, though, that body and soul or spirit is separate is one of the reasons we have so many problems with our students. How can a church stand up and teach God only cares about the spirit, the body is evil, and then wonder why so many teens are engaged in sex? Well, it doesn't matter what I do with my body, right? It doesn't matter because God loves my spirit, and I'm still reading and praying and journaling. I'm just having sex with my boyfriend or my girlfriend a couple of times a week. But that doesn't matter because that's the flesh. That's what it was designed for, right? When instead the Bible teaches exactly the opposite. It says the reason sex before marriage isn't beneficial has nothing to do with STDs, although those are bad. Has nothing to do with emotional problems, although those are bad too. It has everything to do with what the Bible says. When you join with someone physically, you also join with them soul to soul, spirit to spirit, because you are not body and spirit. You are one person. And when your one person joins with another one person, you meld not only physically, but spiritually as well. So the church has propagated this idea of spirit good, body bad, Gnosticism, when that's not what the Bible teaches. Matter of fact, our key text for tonight is found in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to read to you out of a couple of versions, but I'm going to start with the Message. It's a paraphrase that says it this way. Don't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. Ooh. God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your body. That is great theology. That is great theology of your health, of your body, and of stewardship. Sex appeal never shows up there. But great theology of the body. Let me read it to you out of another translation. This is the English Standard Version. It says this, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." Wow. It says all there is to say right there. So we're going to pull that apart for just a couple of minutes. Okay, I want to pull that apart and look at it. For example, the first phrase there, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" It's God's house. The other translation said a sacred place. The temple, the place in Jerusalem where people came to work. This says it's the Holy Spirit's temple, okay? Now, back then, the temple was a building with a lot of rules. And you would show up to temple, and there were rules about who could go in and who had to stay out. And what you could do there and what you couldn't. And it was a place where God figuratively and literally lived. But now, this says, I am the church. I am the temple. God's Spirit lives in me. There is no more temple that we go to. You don't go to church. You are the church if you've brought Jesus into your life and his Spirit lives within you. You can't go to church. You are it. Your body becomes literally the dwelling place of God's Spirit. So in other words, don't trash the temple. Take care of God's house. Many, many years ago, Jennifer and I had friends that had a lake house up in on Michigan Lake. And they said, you can go up there and do whatever you want. Use the jet skis, use the boat, sit out on the deck, use the fire pit, do whatever you want. We just have a simple list of rules on the refrigerator to follow. So we would do that. Now, do you think when Jennifer and I, and at the time our one or two boys, I don't remember when Jacob was in relation to all that. Anyway, you didn't need to know that. We would go up and we would hang out and we would vacation, and the list was, you know, make sure the fridge is cleaned out so we don't have green things growing in there when we return. Make sure the doors are locked. Do you think when we showed up at the house and we played and we had a good time, when we left, we said, let's trash the joint. Let's burn it and let's open the fridge and let's throw food everywhere. No, we wanted to come back. And so we cleaned it and we were good about it and we treated it well because it wasn't ours. We were simply guests. God says, your body is my house. Don't trash the joint. I live there. It's a gift. Scripture continues. It says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. In other words, your body is expensive. Look at that phrase. I was bought at a price. Write that down on your service guides if you want to. I was bought with a price. Somebody paid something for my body. The short of it is, your body cost Jesus his life. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did 3 years of miracles helping people and was murdered. Why? Because your body and spirit are one. Something had to redeem your creation of your body. See, if God wanted your spirit only in heaven, he could go like this. He speaks things into existence. He can speak things to be cleaned up. Jesus had to come and inhabit a body and then live on this planet and then die in his body so that our bodies can also make the trip. In other words, the whole Easter story of Jesus coming to earth is not only about our spirits, it's our bodies that Jesus was paying for as well. That's what Easter is about. You were bought at a price. God let his son be murdered to save this. It's expensive. In fact, the most expensive thing in the universe. Do me a favor. When you came in, there was a little name tag sitting on your chair. If you don't have one, would you put your hand up right now and our welcome teams will get you one? Everybody have it? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a pen. And I want you to write down what you think you're worth. Okay? Husbands, do not interfere with this, just for your own benefit. Just let everybody do their own thing. Write down what you think you're worth. Right now, somebody offer you cash for you, what would it be? Some people are like, I don't have enough room here. Put it in dollars or francs or whatever you're going to do the equivalency in. Here we go. You got it? What are you worth? Now here's the ticket. Whatever you wrote, write 9 more zeros right now. Write 9 more zeros. Go ahead. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now above that, write 1,000 to the 1,000th power. Now take that off and peel that like this and put it right here. That price sticker that you have is a fraction of a percent of the value that God says you are. When you stood in front of the mirror earlier this morning and you thought to yourself, where no one else could hear you, man, I'm ugly. I am never going to find a husband or a wife. I don't look good. My wife is going to leave me. My husband is going to leave me. I can't believe I've let myself get so fat. Or like the young people I've counseled before, I'm never going to look like I think I should. I might as well just kill myself. I'm going to binge and purge until I look like I want to, until I'm worth what I think I am. I'm going to starve myself and use laxatives to make sure that my mental image catches up with my body image. Whenever any of those thoughts cross your head, I want you to remember this. God says, I put a price tag on you so big you can't even fathom it, that God would trade the wealth of the entire planet for you as you sit right now, today. Because he says you were bought at a price, and that price was the biggest thing God had to offer. He watched his son die for you. Now, why are our bodies that important? Because God handcrafted these. Jesus paid for it because God handcrafted it. What do I mean? Genesis 2, verse 7 says this, and the Lord God formed a man's body from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into it the breath of life, and the man became a living person. Up until now, you just have to take my word for this and then go home and check it out. The scripture's on the bottom of your service guide. God says, let there be, 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 and he's speaking things into existence, and then he gets to mankind, and he goes, and all of creation falls silent, and God gets down on his hands and knees and starts to actually form man with his hands. Different than all of creation. The whole creation rhythm stops. God said and there was, and he said and there was, and he said and there was, and then it comes to mankind. And God forms with his hands and breathes with his mouth into the dust of the ground. God handcrafted the human body like a tailor-made jacket. He handcrafted you as you sit. Now, you might have used that well or not, but your body's handcrafted. And from the very beginning, you were formed. You say, well, not me. I was in the Garden of Eden. God didn't form my body. Have you seen me? Psalm 139 says this, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. I don't care what your situation is you were born in. Rape, abuse, neglect. Well, I was an accident. No, you weren't. You were knit together. Your body was formed. Well, my Adam's apple is too big, or my legs are funny, or my ears stick way out, or God formed that, Bubba. There are no accidents. There are no mistakes. When I was in third grade, I had a friend named Daryl, San Jose, California. Daryl's father was a drunk and a heroin addict. And one night in a fit of rage, he dumped a 5-gallon can of gasoline over Daryl and lit him. Daryl got third-degree burns over 90% of his body. For the rest of the time that I knew Daryl, he was scar tissue and in a wheelchair. And in the innocent way of little kids, one day in the fourth grade, I led Daryl through what I knew at the time as a sinner's prayer. And Daryl started crying. And he said, dude, there's no way God could love this. And I had no idea what to say. And so in my fourth grade way, I said, you know, Daryl, I know that you've been messed up, man. But there's a lot of creation that's messed up worse. And God loves us all. To him, you and I don't look any different. I don't care who you are or what you look like or what you've been through. God knits you together. But you don't understand, I'm growing old. I don't work like I used to work. And I can't hear and move and see like I used to. And it's all right. God designed you just like you are. He knows that. You don't have to be Bowflex boy. You don't have to be Cosmo girl. You don't have to be like anybody else says you are, because God made you. It's not about sex appeal. It's about stewardship. Our bodies matter to God, so they should matter to us. We continue with the scripture from 1 Corinthians 6. It said, if you remember, you weren't your own, you were bought with a price. It says that your body's a temple. It also says, so glorify God in your body. Or another translation says, let people see God in and through your body. It's not about how sexually attractive you are. 20, 65, 85, it's the value God put on you. It's this price tag. Body care is an act of worship. What? What do you mean? Romans 12, 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he'll accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Now, let me make this clear. I'm not saying we worship our bodies. If you are really into health and looking good, you know, you look in the mirror. Right? I can't even do this with a straight face. I can't. But if you're into that, we're not worshiping our bodies. Some people think, I'll just live forever by taking as good as care of my body as I can. Uh-uh. It's not about worshiping your body. If you take excellent care of your body, you're proud of how you look, keep it up. Good for you. But don't worship your body. That's not what this is about. It's about stewardship. It's not how good you look under your clothes. It's about taking care of what God gave you. I don't have to be dominated by guilt or body image issues or binge eating or eating disorders or always feeling crummy about my weight because I know God made me. I don't eat right or work out or anything to look good. I do all those things to honor God. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. I steward my health because it's God's house, because I was bought with a price, and because I worship God with my body. Okay, that's an understanding of what our body's about. That's an understanding of why we take care of ourselves. It's not to look good. It's stewardship, not sex appeal. So what do? Let me just spend the last few minutes here saying, okay, what do we actually do? We don't have to get crazy. We don't have to go out and buy machines and do all this crazy stuff. You know, on the flight, I spent the last week in New York at a conference, and on the flight to the event, in the magazine, said, you can be well now. Buy this piece of exercise equipment and work out 4 minutes a day, and you'll be healthy. Price tag, $14,000. You know, those ads in airline magazines are expensive, so they're selling some. And the thing looked like a torture device from the Spanish Inquisition. But you know they're getting ads, right? We don't have to do any of those weird extremes. Would you like to be free from all the body issues and the health and the guilt and all the other stuff? Would you like to be free from that stuff? The Bible says, John chapter 8, if you know the truth will set you free. So here is some health advice gleaned not only from the Bible but from science. A way to unsmudge our thinking. We want to get a free look. You have four blanks on your service guide. We can fill this out here, okay? How do we get a smudged free look? Well, the F in free stands for fuel. How do we fuel our bodies? What do you mean fuel our bodies? I mean, what do I eat? You know, we talk about calories, right? Calorie is a measurement of heat. Your body is an engine to turn food into heat, period. Here's a few simple things. Number one, eat more and smaller meals. You want to read about this? Excuse me. Look at Daniel. Look at David. The Bible paints it. Modern science paints it. If we eat more, if you're hungry, eat. God doesn't say starve yourself. Eat when you're hungry, but eat small. Eat just a little bit and then wait. And if you're hungry, get another hour or two, eat again, but eat small. Second, let's eat less fat, sugar, and salt. We don't have to go buy the latest diet book, you know, the peanut butter and kumquat diet that's sweeping the nation. No, just cut back a little bit on fat, sugar, and salt. Now, this is hard sometimes, you know, especially when you're traveling. Like I said, I just spent the last week in New York at a conference, and I had to get a piece of New York cheesecake because it's famous. So I got a half a piece of New York cheesecake. See, there it is. It's good. That's okay. What you don't want to do is overindulge like some people who just eat bacon and muffins and ice cream and sandwiches and just go crazy when you're out on the road. Scott played along with that. I thank him for letting me set that up. No, eating less fat and sugar and salt. Just try and cut some out here and there. Third big thing, reduce fast food. I just stopped eating fast food a couple years ago, stopped drinking soda pop for the most part. You don't have to go cold turkey, but just a little less. The reason it's fast is because it doesn't last, except here. There's nothing very, you know, I'm going to get a meal for 99 cents. Well, just reduce a little bit. Okay, so what can you do of that? What can you do of eating more often but smaller? What can you do of reducing a little fat, sugar, and salt? What can you do for pulling out fast foods? What can you do right now, today? Think about that. Secondly, the R in free stands for rest. Rest. What's that mean? First thing is you have to sleep well. Okay? Get somewhere comfortable. You like it hot? Make it hot. You like it cold? Make it cold. You're always going to be married to someone who likes it the opposite, though. So live to alternate or something. We try to think we can rob sleep from our bodies. Every sleep debt will be paid. Here's a fact. I was in military situations. I trained SWAT teams, came from a military environment where sometimes you have to be deprived of sleep. When your body's deprived of sleep, it tries to make up for it with calories, period. And so every calorie you eat immediately gets stored to fat when you're sleep deprived. That's why soldiers are given 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 calories when they're on multiple day exercises and don't sleep, because your body substitutes calories for sleep. So sleep well. Okay? Now, next, work-rest cycles. Your body was designed to work hard and then play hard. When you bust that up by saying, well, I'll just work at a steady stream of 50% and just keep it up, that's how you burn out. Your body thinks it's going to starvation mode, it doesn't rest well, and it packs on the fat. Third thing, God teaches us the Sabbath. God says he worked 6 days, took one off. You have to have one day to turn off. I work 6 days a week, Saturday through Thursday. Do not try to reach me Friday. I have fallen off the face of the planet. The BlackBerry is off. The computer is off. I'm with my family doing whatever it is that brings me rest. Thinking that I need to work all 7 days is a problem. It's sin and it hurts my health. Now, what can you do of those? How can you rest better? F was for fuel. R is for rest. E stands for exercise. Exercise. What do I do? Well, first, cardio. Do something where you move, where your heart rate goes up. You don't have to go run a marathon. Walk. Do something to get your heart rate beating. Next is resistance. You have to do something where your muscles are used. It's good for your muscles. It's good for your bones. As you get older, resistance exercise is required to keep us from getting sick in a variety of ways. Do something of resistance. Well, I can't. You don't understand. My mom is over 60. She's like 5 foot and 85 pounds with rocks in her pockets. She walks. She goes, how can I do resistance? She bought 2 soup cans, and she walks down the street doing this. She says, if anybody asks her, why are you holding soup cans? She says, I'm going to have lunch when I get done. Okay, whatever resistance is for you. And remember moderation. You don't have to do a marathon. Take the stairs instead of the elevator for a floor. Go for a walk. Do yoga, martial arts, bicycle, whatever it is. It's hard to exercise in winter. Yeah, I know. Get creative. Get creative. Well, I don't have enough money. You don't have to spend a fortune. You don't have to join a gym. We're not talking about Bowflex boy and Cosmo girl. We're talking about health, and all you have to do for that is exercise a little bit. Okay, fuel, rest, exercise. The last E, enjoy it. If you don't enjoy it, you won't do it. So you have to enjoy it. What's that mean? First thing, move. Your body is the most sophisticated piece of engineering known to the planet. We still don't know how our eyes and brain work. Eyes, a little bit better understanding. There's a lot of part of that we have no clue. The brain stumps modern science as to how it works. How you can make your body do different things in different ways. We don't know. So move and enjoy movement. What kind of movement do you enjoy? Walking from the couch to the fridge. No, move. Enjoy your body's movement. Have fun. Do something that brings you joy. I hate running. I was in competitive martial arts for years. Our coach would make us run. I would curse his name the whole time I was running. I hate running. I do it sometimes because I have to. If I was to rely only on running for health, I would be in serious trouble. I love martial arts. I've done karate and jiu-jitsu and judo for over 25 years. There's a heavy bag hanging in my basement. And it's a finished basement. Why? Number one, I have a great wife who lets me do that. And number two, because I can hit that heavy bag all day long and never grow tired of it. I mean, physically I grow tired, but mentally. So have fun. And the third thing is pick the right time. Well, I have to go running at 5 o'clock in the morning. Not if you're not a morning person. When do you want to run? I used to run sometimes or work out sometimes after work, de-stress. I'm a morning person. Do it then. When are you going to naturally enjoy movement? Don't worry what the book says. Don't worry, well, I don't look good in the spandex. Then don't wear the spandex. Okay? Get comfortable. Who's this for? You and God. Tell Bowflex Boy and Cosmo Girl to take a hike. Why, this guy always runs by me. Then ask for a lift as he runs by. What can you do of those things? At a conference I was at, I told a guy what I was going to speak about. And he looked at me and he said, you know, we all know all this stuff. We just don't do it, do we? How would your life change if you started looking through your body through the eyes of stewardship, not sex appeal? Understanding that your bodies are eternal, you'll take them to heaven with you. That it doesn't take huge changes, just a few small ones to start improving your health, and that is worship to God. Cutting out this from my diet here, taking a walk once or twice a week here, God stands up in heaven and applauds. Because it's worship. Not only that, we'll have a better life. And we'll live longer too, depending on how old we are and what kind of life we've led. We can add 5 to 10 years to our life by worshiping God this way. Think about this. What if God has plans for those last 5 or 10 years? And I cheat him by not taking care of my body well. And you look at me, I'm not an Olympic athlete. But I don't want to rob my family, my kids, my grandkids, the lives I might interact with, potentially even save, because I didn't manage my health. Imagine what you could do in those last 5 or 10 years. And friend, if you're here today and you thought you were too small or too big, too short or too tall, had funny this or awkward that, I want you to leave here free of that. Because God said, I handcrafted you. You're exactly like I made you. Worship me by how you take care of yourself, would you? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for making our bodies so very wonderfully complex. Father, help us to learn to worship you through them. Thank you for investing so much of yourself into us through our bodies, for paying for them with the death of Jesus Christ, who took his sinless body and let it be pierced and crushed, and who died so that we can know you in bodily form. Father, help us to accept that. Friends, if you're here and you don't even know what this is, you don't even know how to connect with this, the Bible says all you have to do is come to the place where you say, you know, God, I don't even fully understand it, but the fact that Jesus Christ died for me means something. So I say thank you for that gift of saving not only my body, but my spirit. And I want to help. I want to learn, Father, to follow you, even if that means help, because I don't even know what that means right now. But I want to honor you, God. I want to worship you with my mind, my spirit, my body, all of who I am. I thank you for the gift that Christ gave me by dying for me, by investing into this body. Help me to live that way. I want to be part of the family, Father, so I can worship you in how I move and how I eat. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.